Welcome to worship, McFarland. It's so great to connect with you and be in touch with you in this way as we worship together. We're glad that you've joined us on this day. This is the new year, and we're celebrating the Epiphany of Christ, the coming of God's light into the world. It's a great day to connect our lives, our hearts, and our hopes in worship. My name is Rockford Johnson, and I'm the senior pastor here. It's a great privilege to serve along with so many gifted and talented leaders and people as we advance the mission of Jesus Christ together. Since you're worshiping with us today, would you let us know that you are? You can click on the link in the chat box or go to our website, mcfarlandumc.org, and find the online worship button, and there you can find a way to let us know you're worshiping with us. And also, there's a prayer request, red button on the front page of the website. And we invite you to share your prayer request and your concerns with us as well. Today, it's a great privilege for us to welcome Pastor Trey Witzel into our worship, our life, our ministry, and leadership. And he's with us today in worship. So I hope that you will welcome him at every opportunity. You can go to our app or go to our website and find ways that you can hear from Pastor Trey through video. And so we come into worship together today, and our senior associate pastor, Pastor Wendy Neal, has some important information to share with us.
Happy New Year, McFarland. I want to let you know that next week on January 10th, we're going to be starting a new sermon series called Soul Reset. And what a great way to start the new year by taking a deep breath and recognizing the ways that we need to be refreshed and re-energized and maybe just have a new start. We're going to follow the book called Soul Reset by Junius Dotson, if you'd like to get that book and follow along with us. We'll also be celebrating and looking forward to each week in January what God is up to at McFarland, and I know that you won't want to miss it. Today, we come on this first Sunday of a new year, and we come to celebrate and give thanks for all that God has done at McFarland, all that God is doing at McFarland, and all that God can do at McFarland through us. And so today, we come to proclaim that this indeed is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. And as we begin this time of worship, let us sing together.
Will you please join with me in our responsive reading, our Litany of Assurance? Hear the good news of the psalmist's proclamation. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to God, and the night is as bright as the day. The God who promised never to leave us or forsake us has come to us in Jesus Christ, who binds up the brokenhearted, heals all of our infirmities, and relieves our burden of sin. So arise, shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. O Lord, we give you thanks for this day and praise you because your unfailing love never ends. Because of you, all is not lost. O God, great is your faithfulness. Help us to be open to experience your faithfulness each and every day. God, we want to put our hope in you. God, teach us in this new year to wait patiently for your salvation. Help us to submit to your yoke of discipline, to your timing, and to trust that you are still very much at work in our lives. Oh God, let us sit and consider what this time requires of us and our faithfulness. What does it mean to be the church and to make disciples in a context that is so different? What does it mean when we sing that the church is not a building, the church is not a steeple, the church is not a resting place, the church is the people? Oh God, give us a vision and a conviction of the amazing new opportunities in front of us for being the church in the world. God, we are like the Magi. We are lumbering in hope, each one of us on our own life's journey, traveling through times of loneliness and fear, through heartbreak and anger, through grief and loss, through economic uncertainty, through fear of loved ones caught up in war, through our own private crises, through struggles with the mental illness of a child or the decline in health of a parent or the simple letting go of a child more ready to be an adult than we are ready to allow their growth. Through the changes in a new marriage, the welcoming of a new child, the completion of a degree, all of this unfolding as we go, not yet clear how it will all turn out. O God of light, we lumber together in hope as your church to share your light with others. Let this be a light that shines in the darkness. And as we lift that light, may we too be lifted to know the true power that lies among us, waiting to rise as a beacon of true hope and to grow stronger through the gifts that your Spirit gives us. Oh God, we pray all of this and we lift up our hopes and our dreams for this year. And we pray in the name of the one who is the light of the world, Jesus Christ, who leads us every step of the way. Amen.
Like you, I am excited to put 2020 behind me and look ahead to 2021. And not just because of the disappointments and struggles of this past year, but because I truly believe that great things are ahead for McFarland Church. I believe that God is calling us to do amazing things as we continue to live into our mission to change lives that change the world. And as we enter into this time of offering, this is an opportunity for each and every one of us to invest in what the kingdom of God is doing through this church. And I want to invite you and encourage you and ask you to be a part of what we're going to do in 2021. You can give on our McFarland app or on the webpage, mcfarlandumc.org, or you can drop a check in the mail to the church office. Let us have a time of prayer. Most holy and gracious God, we ask you to accept these our gifts, a return to you of the many things that you've blessed each and every one of us with. As we look ahead to this coming year with great anticipation and excitement, help us to know that you are calling each and every one of us to make a difference, that you are calling us to live into the light of Jesus Christ that has come to overcome the darkness that can sometimes feel like it's overcome the world. Bless us and watch over us and help us to be who it is that you want us to be, both as individuals and collectively as a church. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Our scripture reading from this morning comes from Lamentations 3 and Matthew 2, and I invite you to hear these words. The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And now a reading from Matthew 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is shepherd, my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt.
I want to invite you to connect on Tuesdays at 12:30 p.m. if you can carve out a little time from your lunch hour and connect with us for sermon talk. I'm hosting that, and on Sundays when Pastor Wendy or someone else preaches, that preacher joins us. And we just spent about 30 minutes talking through the sermon, hearing from you, your reflections, questions, and processing together. And so I invite you to do that. You can find those links at our website or through our app, and I would invite you to be a part of that a very enjoyable time together. Let us pray. O God of light and love, give us a spirit of wisdom and insight. Open our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, that we may perceive what the Spirit is saying to the church, what the Spirit is saying to us. Through the meditations and thoughts of our hearts together around these words that we've heard and how we understand them. So we come praying for the nurture of our lives and for the advance of the mission of Jesus. Amen. So on the first Wednesday evening, after being appointed as pastor of the Lone Wolf United Methodist Church down in southwestern Oklahoma, I took my prepared youth lesson and showed up at the church to help lead the largest youth group in that small town. Students from our church and other churches and from no church came together, a rather large group for a small town, to that small fellowship hall right at the back of the sanctuary. To my surprise and a little bit to my dismay, I was quickly swept up into a very serious game of dodgeball. It was quite a challenge, actually. It was led by this energetic and dedicated young farmer who loved to kind of rev up the fires there and get the kids going. It was their customary and standing activity, and I just walked into it. Young athletes would throw the volleyball at our legs or our feet with such speed and precision and ferocity that it was a little bit dangerous. The objective was that the last person standing was the winner. So this moving huddle of kids would lunge and jump and hide behind each other to dodge the ball that would race toward them like an asteroid flying through space. You know, in the Star Wars movie, The Empire Strikes Back, Han Solo and the Wookiee, Chewbacca, in a daring attempt to evade the Imperial Starfleet, fly the Millennium Falcon against impossible odds, but successfully through an asteroid field, all the while being chased from behind by the Imperial fighters. And when the robotic droid C-3PO calculates the odds of dodging all the asteroids and coming out alive, Han says, "Never tell me the odds." They make it, of course, swerving and dancing and dodging their way through repeated danger, but coming at them from behind and facing them in front of them. So, you know, 2020 was a bit of a game of dodgeball, or maybe something like a flight through an asteroid field. But here we are, worn a bit probably, quite tired from the intensity of the journey maybe, bruised perhaps, wounded, reflective even, somewhat wary of 2021 and what it may bring, but grateful for God's presence and God's potential that resides with us and among us. To some degree, we spent 2020 dodging the virus, dodging opinions about the virus, steering a course through its economic impact, finding our way through realities such as not being able to connect in normal ways, unable to visit or sit with friends or family in the hospital, what someone called a terrible moment in a terrible year, navigating online work and school, reacting to serious racial injustice and strife, dodging falling branches from the early October ice storm, and more. As the church, we've worked to safely maneuver the tension between in-person and virtual ministry, closing down the physical church, then opening up to some degree, get back into worship, even coming into the sanctuary, but just for a couple weeks, and then the virus load increased, and we went to online only again. In our homes, work, school, and church life, we spun on so many dimes that there must be dime-sized imprints on the bottoms of our souls. And in our inner soul, we may have become a little dizzy. But with God's help and the help of each other, we found ways to make lemonade out of lemons, to find joy in sorrow, to discover the light of God in the darkness. Now, every year has both its opportunities and challenges, and 2021 may also be populated with some honorary asteroids. The vaccines are arriving, but the virus is still with us and has even found a way to mutate into new versions of itself. The economy has taken a hit, and so have many of our local businesses, and it may take time to recover. Political polarization in our nation and culture and even in churches and denominations has not yet gone away. And some of us, of course, may be facing personal and family challenges coming at us in 2021. You may have felt like there's just too much to dodge. Too much, too fast, too often. You may feel like you can't take much more of the dodging and the dancing and the darting around unique challenges. The good news is that God is in the business of leading us through such complex fields of challenge. We see it in the story of Joseph and the Magi, or the wise men, that unfolds here after the birth of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. The message of this story assures us both that God is on the move and that God is illuminating our way forward so that we can dodge the impact of persistent, current, and incoming realities and make our way living in the light of God. The story that is told in the Gospel of Matthew after the birth of Jesus is a rather intense narrative involving Joseph and some Persian or Babylonian experts in curious phenomena such as dreams and visions and pre-scientific interpretation of the movements of the planets and the stars. And so, following the best translation of the word magi, we should think of them as astrologers rather than kings of the Orient. The story involves, of course, is centered around the activity of God guiding the wise men on their way and illuminating Joseph's care and strategy to keep the child Jesus safe. As Matthew tells us, the astrologers seem to be passionate about their calculations and their musings that the star they have been watching indicates the birth of a new ruler for Israel. They have been studying the constellations and points of light now for a couple of years. They have a cultural tradition that informs them that events on earth have a counterpart in the canopy above them. They are sure of their conclusions, sure enough to pack their bags, pack some gifts, and travel. Perhaps we are to understand that they come with the endorsement from their ruler as diplomats of some kind, intent on establishing good rapport with a coming new administration, a new king that they would assume would be under the thumb of the Roman Empire, just like King Herod in Jerusalem. But you know, they need more light than the star. Because apparently their assumptions cloud either their observations or their calculated conclusions or both, and take them to the capital city to talk to the current king in Jerusalem rather than taking them directly to Bethlehem. So in the capital city, they tap into God's illumination when King Herod calls for the scholars of the scriptures, the leaders of the religious community, to come together in some sort of little conferencing, a forum, to figure out, read the scriptures, you know, where is this Messiah to be born? And that's what they need to complete the picture. They need them to help them find out that it's Bethlehem, not Jerusalem. So they make the short 4.5 miles to Bethlehem. They become giddy with 2 years of pent-up joy when their calculations and their scriptural and the scriptural guidance and the mysterious light above converge into what Matthew presents as some kind of a GPS pinpoint of Joseph's house, perhaps at the corner of some street, shall we say, at the corner of Messiah Lane and David Avenue. Well, of course, since Matthew's gospel indicates that Jesus now may be a couple of years old, the star having been in the sky that long, Matthew may intend for us to assume that the wise travelers ask around town in Bethlehem, just like they had to go to Jerusalem and ask for directions. Because remember, Matthew tells us that Herod privately asked these guys to tell him exactly what time they discovered that star. And apparently he tells them 2 years, for later Herod, in this act of horrendously evil jealousy, will send soldiers to annihilate all those two and under. So after a couple of years, we can rightly imagine that people in Bethlehem know about Joseph and Mary and perhaps some of the stories about the birth of Jesus and Joseph's dreams and his ability to interpret dreams. And so this human-divine collaboration continues. And they find the house and they pay homage to Jesus. However, unknown to them until now, Herod prefers that his son Archelaus follow him as king, as local monarch, and intends to destroy the newborn king rather than worship him. So sensitive as these astrologer types are to the mystery of spiritual reality, they get the message, they obey what they experience in a dream, and they dodge Herod. Subverting this evil intention, they leave town by an alternate route and escape home to the east. Well, then there is Joseph, a faith-filled, conscientious, and caring husband and family man who has embraced the role that he has in God's story, both as Mary's husband and the custodian of Jesus. And he's characterized as intuitive of spiritual guidance, and responsive to how God illuminates his thoughts, inclinations, and actions through dream experiences. So before the dust settles behind the camels of the generous astrologers, Joseph gets the urgent message to grab up Jesus, flee to Egypt, and stay there indefinitely because Herod is stalking Jesus to eradicate what he perceives as the threat to his dynasty. So they pack in a hurry and they escape under the cover of night. Now Matthew uses scripture to make clear that the meaning of their flight to Egypt in order to distance Jesus from the danger is that God actively works to help them dodge the threat of Herod's jealous wrath for the greater good of the coming mission of Jesus. He quotes a line from the prophet Hosea about God calling his son out of Egypt, originally a reference to Moses. By quoting scripture references that connect events in this story with particular statements from the prophets, Matthew points to the deep and long mystery of God's similar creative work in the past as help to make sense of these new experiences. The scripture references don't mean that everything is predestined. Matthew uses them in crafting the story to help midwife the meaning for his Jewish Christian readers. When Herod feels betrayed and in that fit of jealousy and selfish ambition wipes out all those precious little souls in the vicinity of Bethlehem, that horrific mass murder is connected to a sentence out of the prophet Jeremiah, but that does not require us to conclude that God required or designed that such evil horror was necessary for Jesus to accomplish his mission. The scripture quote about Rachel weeping unconsolably amplifies the heinousness of the deed and the depth of the grief. It does not say that God required it as part of the story of Jesus. Matthew uses scripture to illuminate more than to predict. It is because of Scripture, of course, that we believe humans are free to live in darkness and sin, contrary to God's design, and that out of such abused freedom come all kinds of destruction and unnecessary tragedy. And while we may be left wondering why every family in Bethlehem is not warned, I suppose a question we could take up in sermon talk on Tuesday. The main message Matthew is trying to communicate is that for Joseph and for the mission of Jesus, God does illuminate Joseph's understanding of circumstances and realities so that he and his holy family can dodge the danger and protect the mission of Jesus. Now, God does not fix every problem or move every obstacle or control the actions of every person, either good or bad, but God does illuminate and call people to follow the best possible course of action in accordance with God's will that is available to us. The way Matthew tells the story of Joseph's experience with angels in dreams and his ability to interpret them, and the way he uses quotes from the prophetic writings in composing this story, help us interpret God's current activity in our lives and in the life of our church and in the world. God illuminates our hearts and minds, our thinking and our feeling, through a combination of scripture, experience, tradition, and our efforts to make sense of things along with the work of the Holy Spirit, even our ability or our effort to develop strategies to deal with the challenges. So then, God expects our listening, our learning, and our engaged efforts to make sense of things in dodging danger and dealing with the challenges. This expectation is made even more clear when Joseph gladly travels back toward Bethlehem after getting a message in Egypt that the wicked King Herod is dead and that he should return home. But then he hears that Herod's son, Archelaus, is ruling Judea, and Joseph's fatherly heart fills with fear. He quickly senses it's not safe to go to Bethlehem in Judea. It's only after Joseph's paternal radar alerts him to the danger that he has a dream then warning him that he should dodge Bethlehem and, like the visitors from the east, take a different route and relocate in Nazareth. Joseph's sense of things is confirmed by God's illuminating activity in a dream. Sometimes it works the other way. Sometimes it works this way. So for Joseph, his faith and then his own sense of prudence and his paternal protective instincts and his partial understanding of government and politics and his knowledge of the character of those in this royal house and his internal threat assessment all come together with God's message perceived in a dream for him. It all works together to illuminate the journey and help him successfully dodge repeated danger. And from this narrative, from this wonderful story, we learn that God constantly enters each moment of our living and invites us, woos us, calls us to choose the best way forward. God persistently and without fail, in each moment, when we stand at a fork in the road or in the path of a falling rock, shines a light upon our thoughts and desires, a light that enables us to discern a next step, a prudent sidestep, or to choose and then to stride in the direction that leads us around the trouble, through the trouble, and or into arenas of new possibility. Well, like Joseph, who had to distance his family from danger by going to Egypt and then had to relocate to Nazareth because going to Bethlehem was not safe, so we also learn that we cannot change everything, but we can dodge the worst effects of many things. In fact, McFarland has had to deal with challenges of all kinds and degrees over the last 90-plus years. I have in my hand here a rock, actually a piece of the McFarland Bell Tower. It descended from the bell tower when lightning struck, probably in 1971. And the newspaper article is pasted on the rock here. It says, "Bolt smacks church." It reads, lightning smacked against the McFarland UMC tower for the second time in 5 years. It caught a corner of the tower, knocking ornamental stone to the street and through the church roof. It says that a previous strike happened in August 5 years ago, resulting in $11,000 of damage. And the pictures I've seen of that event show boulders of debris lying on the sidewalk around the sanctuary. But repairs were made, and the church continued. Now, that damage was only building material. But over the years, McFarland has been struck by other challenges that could not be avoided, and yet has proven her resilience in dodging the impact that could have destroyed or disabled in some way the church. So not many years after the construction of the original sanctuary came the Great Depression and all that that brought to all of the people in and around this place and the whole country. And then World War II and all that meant for so many people. And the great social upheaval of the 60s and the Vietnam era. And there's also been the ups and the downs of the Oklahoma oil economy and the great recession of 2008 and now the pandemic of 2020-2021. So along with such major historic challenges along the way, there have certainly been other smaller but very painful, even tragic challenges, no doubt. Nevertheless, here we stand. Nevertheless, we stand at the dawn of 2021, taking strategic steps forward, listening for God's guidance, and planning for God's mission in the new year. So if your heart is weary or wounded, if your mind is tired or troubled, if your confidence is somewhat dampened or damaged, here is the good news about God from this story of Jesus, Joseph, and the Magi. God is with us, and God is actively shining a light, pointing a star, illuminating our lives, our thoughts, our feelings, our desires, our ability to perceive and understand, our ability to see through the challenges, our ability to detect the next step. God is on the move, guiding us to dodge the destructive impact of dangerous current realities. We respond by adapting and strategizing in ways true to the grace of God, rooted in Scripture and tradition, illuminated constantly by both experience and reasoned study and reflection of the interplay of Scripture and tradition and experience. We could think of the activity of the Spirit of God like a coach talking with a quarterback during timeout at a very crucial moment in the game. The coach talking to the quarterback about how to read the defense, what options that he might execute depending upon the realities that unfold on the field as the play takes place. So there is a sense in which we feel the realities, learn what we don't yet know, and adapt to them, doing so in the light of God's active guidance. God is on the move every day, every year, and as every new episode and era begins to unfold, God's guidance is constantly refreshed to meet the new challenges. The biblical book of Lamentations that we heard from earlier is loaded down with great heartache and heavy grief. And it ends with a dark question, wondering if God might abandon God's people permanently. How dark can it get? And yet, like a bright star of promise, the words from chapter 3, 22 and 23 affirm confidence that God never ceases to illuminate new options, possibilities, and strategies just as surely as the sun rises daily. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. God's mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. I like to imagine that Joseph uttered those words each time God shows him the next steps in the story of Jesus. Great is your faithfulness. Every time, morning by morning, new mercies I see. I believe these words assure us that God will guide us and inspire our strategic action as we confront whatever the year brings. Certainly, we will deal with and do our best to dodge the complicated danger of the pandemic and its aftermath. In 2021, with God's constant illumination and guidance, we will deal graciously with the impact of any historic decisions that the global United Methodist Church may make concerning human sexuality, if in fact the worldwide church is able to gather in August as planned. And no doubt, also in 2021, persons and families among us and we as the church will have occasion to deal with challenges both anticipated and unknown. Whatever we face and whatever we do, we will do so living in the light of God. Pastor, author, and leadership coach Gil Rendell tells the story of a woman who asked her young son to go out into the darkness of night to ensure that the door of their family's barn is shut and locked. So the son steps out into a cloudy night. Stars and moon are hidden. It's very dark. With desire to accomplish his mission, he begins to move out of the light that's cast from the doorway behind him, and he tests the darkness with one foot. He freezes and quickly returns to say that it's so dark he cannot see the barn. His mother hands him a flashlight and directs him again to his task, only to have him return to say that the flashlight doesn't shine far enough and he still cannot see the barn. Finally, the mother sends her son out the third time with the instruction, "Son, you don't need to see the barn. Just walk toward the barn and to the end of the light." When we walk to the end of our light, the next portion of the path is revealed. We take the next faithful step. With regard to next steps in 2021, I have shared my heart and thoughts as pastor in a New Year's letter that is being distributed this week. In that letter, I also named three ways we are moving forward in faith. And as a part of our January effort to communicate and inspire, we are also producing four videos that describe significant new or revitalized efforts launching in 2021. And they will be shown on the four remaining Sundays this month. The letter and these videos, along with other resources, will be posted together on our website, and we'll push out more information about that, the All Church Celebration page on the website. Friends, disciples of Jesus, worshipers of God, I believe that God is on the move in and through McFarland. I believe that our shared mission to change lives, that change the world, according to the mission of God revealed in Jesus, is of the utmost importance. Our mission rises above any other agendas, be they national or denominational or political or local or individual. I believe God will illuminate our life together with fresh vision and guide our ministry strategies in 2021 and far into the future. I believe that whatever asteroid fields we may encounter, God will indeed work actively in our conversations, prayer, study, and conferencing together to so illuminate our thoughts, sharpen our senses, and clarify our feelings that we will indeed successfully navigate any and all challenges to ensure the robust continuance of our mission together. Finally, I believe and hope and believe I know in my heart that you also firmly believe in the certainty of God's guidance, in the strength and durability of this church, and in the mission of Jesus to actually change lives that change the world. With such trust and confidence, God's Jesus-defined mission in and through McFarland is unstoppable. Let us pray. Thank you, O God, for the way you attend to our life every moment of every day. Give us new possibilities as every day the sun rises. And on this, the beginning of a new year, fill our lives with confidence and hope in your grace. And so we offer you ourselves to engage our lives in your mission. In the name and the way of Jesus. Amen.
As we prepare to come to the Lord's table today, I just want to remind you that this is Christ's table. It is not McFarland's table. This is not the table of the United Methodist Church. And so if you are participating in worship with us today, you are invited and welcome to participate in Holy Communion. I would invite you to get your elements ready, your bread and your cup, as we enter into this holy time together. And I also want to remind you that it is our tradition here at McFarland to take a special offering on Communion Sunday, and every cent of this offering goes to help our Thursday Utility Assistance Ministry. Every week we receive a number of calls from people in the area who need just a little bit of help to get by. And so your donations, your offerings go to help these folks. It makes just a little bit of difference in this world by helping these families who just need a hand up. And so as we prepare to come to the table, let us hear the invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth or you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. You sent a star to guide Magi to where the Christ was born. And in your signs and witnesses, in every age and through all the world, you have led your people from far places to his light. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread. He gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us here, gathered in this place and connected in these ways, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together the prayer of the Lord we find in the gospel. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The body of Christ broken for you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. Let us receive the grace of God together. And now, may the God of all hope in this new year and throughout all of this year give you such joy and peace in believing that hope may abound every morning of every day of this whole year long by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in God's peace.